Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Let's have a quick word of prayer before we begin. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, that we're able to gather together here to hear your word. Thank you that you're present here. And we just pray, Lord, that Lord, that you would be with me, that that the words would be your words and not my words. We just pray for your help today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we are continuing in 1 John. We're almost done, finishing up chapter 4. So we'll start in John chapter 4, verse 7 through 21. I'm going to go ahead and read that first. So starting in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love God, or for he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also.
Amen.
Amen. So did you catch the emphasis on love there? It's mentioned quite a bit. And if you go back to the 1 John and in the other verses, it's in there as well. So John's really laying out for us love and what love is and the true love of God. So in chapter 7 or chapter 8, it says, everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. So everybody who loves is born of God and knows God. And I was thinking about that, so people who aren't born of God can be kind and they can be gentle. But can they really love? Can you really love if you're not born of God? God is love. God himself is love. So it says, everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. So to have true love, we have to be born again and we have to know God. In Ephesians 3, verses 17 through 19, it says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God.
Amen.
So you're saying that Christ may dwell in our hearts. When Christ dwells in our hearts, we can be rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. And when we're rooted and grounded, and when we know the love of Christ, it surpasses all knowledge. So we see things that that maybe don't make sense to our fleshly, to our flesh, but His love surpasses all of that, and so things work out, and then we are filled with all the fullness of God when we're in His love. He who does not love, it says, does not know God. So it says, everyone who loves is born of God and knows God, but he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So if we don't love, that means that we don't know God. So we're called to love, and we're called to love through Christ. It says if we don't love, that we don't know God. And later on in verse 20, John even says, he who does not love his brother whom he's seen, how can he love God who he's not seen? So if we don't love those who are around us, even if they're our enemies, even if for whatever reason, whatever they've done to us, if we don't love them that we see, how can we love a God that we don't see? That's what John says. Now, loving our enemies and loving others can be tough, but God is a source of love. So we don't have to do that on our own. God is a source of love. It doesn't come from our flesh. It's not something that we have to do. It comes from God. And God showed us His love in a couple ways. He showed us His love through life, by sending His Son Jesus into this world that we might live through Him. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. The love of God was manifested. It means made known. It was made known to us by Jesus Christ. John 3:16, everybody knows this verse, but it's good to remember this. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Mm-hmm. For God so loved the world. And then God also showed us His love through death. That God sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross to be the propitiation for our sins. So if we go back down to verse 10, it says, "In this is love. Not that we loved God. It has nothing to do with what we did. But that He loved us. And that He sent His Son, not just on the earth, to live on the earth, but to die and to be a propitiation for our sins." Mm-hmm. It's kind of what Brother Mike was saying for the Lord's table. Ephesians 2, verses 4 and 5, it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. It's by grace that you have been saved." And I really like that. It says, because of His great love. Because of His great love with which He loved us. Even when we were dead in our trespasses. And we were all dead. Mm-hmm. We were all dead in trespasses at one time. But He still loved us. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrated His own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So again, he didn't love us for what we did or for what we could do. He loved us because He's love. And then God showed His love through life. God showed His love through the death of Christ. And God shows His love through us. It says, "Beloved, if God so loved us," in verse 11, "if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." Yeah. So God shows His love to others through us. And we talked a little bit about the fruits of the Spirit this morning. And love is one of the fruits of the Spirit. It's the first fruit of the Spirit. That doesn't mean it's any better. But it's one of the fruits of the Spirit. And love is an outpouring of us when we know God. So the Bible says that we will be known by our fruits. And love is one of the fruits that we will be known by. And it's how we It's how we interact with other people. It's how we respond to other people. And it's not necessarily how we respond to our own family. It is how we respond to our own family, and it is being kind and loving to our own family. But Jesus said, don't just be kind to your own family, to those who you know and those who are your friends. Even the heathen and the tax collectors do that. Be kind and love those who are outside, those who are your enemies, even those who are spitefully using you. So we're called to love a pure love, and a pure love to everyone, the way that Jesus gave his life for all of us. It says that no one has seen God at any time, but when we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. So when we love one another, God abides in us. We don't love our enemies because we are good people. We don't love our enemies because it's what we want to do. We don't love our enemies because that's what our flesh does. We love our enemies because God loved us when we were enemies against him.
Amen.
And we love our enemies because God has given us the Spirit and the Spirit of love. This kind of reminded me of the parable of the unforgiving servant. And I want to read that, actually. In Matthew 18, verses 23 to 35. And this is talking about forgiveness and being unforgiven. But, therefore, the kingdom of heaven... This is Jesus speaking. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And then when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of the servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into the prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brothers his trespasses. And I was thinking about that, and I know that's about forgiveness, but I thought about it in terms of love, in the terms of the great love that God's shown to each one of us, to give Amen. Jesus Christ for us. I mean, just think about that. We were all without God, and we were all condemned to death, and justly so, deserving of death. No one is righteous, not one. But God gave his Son so that we could be free. It says later, so that we could boldly stand in the judgment. And we weren't deserving of that. Now, how much more should we love those who are around us? How much more should we love all of our brothers and sisters and even our enemies? And it says that you should forgive them. And part of loving is forgiving them as well. So again, God loved us when we were not deserving, and he expects us to love others the same way. And it says, back in John 4, it says that we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit. So again, he's given us the Spirit to help us and to be able to do these things. In John 14, verses 15 to 17, he says, If you love me, keep my commandments, And I will give you another helper, that he may abide in you, that he may abide in you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be with you. So it says, if you love me and keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. And then 1 John 3:23, it says, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us commandment. So first, we should believe on Jesus Christ. And second is, we should love one another. John reiterates this in verse 15. He said, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And then in verse 17, it says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. I love that. Love has been perfected. Boldness in the day of judgment. So judgment is coming, but we can have boldness in that day. We don't have to be afraid. We can have. It might even be tomorrow. Yeah, absolutely. We pray that it would be tomorrow. That's right. In Ephesians 3:12, it says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him, that is Jesus Christ. Hebrews 10:19 says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. So again, we have boldness through Christ. And this is how love is perfected. It says love is perfected through Christ. Love has been perfected among us. And we have a high priest over the house of God, so we can stand in the judgment. And just kind of in closing, I just wanted to say that, you know, perfect love, just kind of summarizing John and talking about this, perfect love is the good news of the gospel. The good news of the gospel is perfect love. It is that although we are sinners, God sent his Son Jesus Christ to the earth to live a sinless life and to die on the cross in our place, allowing us to come boldly to Christ. A sacrifice for our sins. And now we can face the day of judgment with boldness and without fear. Because perfect love casts out all fear. Because of the love of God, we don't have to fear death, even though we are deserving of death. He gave us everlasting life through Christ Jesus. And this is true love. And God is love. Anybody have any comments or questions on any of that?
When we have this confidence that God loves us and God accepts us, that's what faith is about, is believing that God will accept us in Christ. When we have that, we know that God loves us. We're not hiding ourselves, trying to cover ourselves with fig leaves. We're not drawing back from him, but we're drawing near to him because we're confident, assured of his love. That's the perfect love that casts out fear. Because fear has to do with torment. That's, you're afraid because you think you're going to be judged and punished. But the perfect love says, no, I'm not going to be judged. I'm not going to be punished. Because I love God and he loves me. And that's that.
Amen.
Perfected love causes us to have boldness and draw near to him. That's what it's all about. That's what he wants. Mm-hmm. Not a weak faith that draws back from him, but strong faith draws near to him. Boldness and confidence.
I like what you said, that we don't have to do that on our own. He's given us the Holy Spirit, and he's given us his word, and we have the Spirit within us being born again, that because of the power that lies within us, we can do this, but not without.
Yeah. Yep. Amen. And John, throughout 1 John, he lays it out. He lays out that we that how we should act in loving others, but he always says that we've been given the Spirit in different ways, yeah. So we don't have to do it on our own, thankfully.
In fact, some people view 1 John as like, this is what you're supposed to do. If you're going to know God, you have to love one another. You have to love him. But really, it's presenting evidence that those who do know God do love the brethren. Mm-hmm. And if you see that this is lacking, it's not a command for you just to do it apart from coming to Christ and being saved. It's more like a symptom.
It's an outflowing of the Holy Spirit within us.
Amen.
Yeah.
It's the fruit that will be there as we know God and walk with him.
Amen.
It's not without effort on our part. But the reason we put forth the effort is because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us.
Amen.
So, yeah, your flesh might not want to do the loving thing. Your flesh wants to eat, and it wants to sleep, and it wants to be left alone to do what it wants. But who's going to listen to the flesh? The real you, the born-again you, if you are born again, wants this. And God gives us the grace to keep under our bodies, our flesh, and bring them into subjection. And I like that verse you read. As he is, so are we in this world. I want to think about that some more. But with that, in that state, then we have boldness in the day of judgment. When he comes, we're not worried that, oh no, what if I don't measure up? We're recognizing that he really has changed us, and we really are being formed in the image of his Son.
Amen.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Amen.
I was blessed thinking about when you shared about loving your enemies. When Jesus said, love your enemies, that you may be the father, or you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. Because he loved his enemies.
Mm-hmm. He is kind to the unthankful. Mm-hmm.
I like how you said we should love people. Not in our family. God went outside of his family. Mm-hmm.
All right, well, let's stand and have a prayer.